Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode, I'm just going to make this up because I don't even know where I'm at right now, 79. Look at that. I was able to pull it up real quick. Of the Interviews Podcast. I'm here actually without my co-host Alessandro because the man had the unfortunate experience of being at the San Siro yesterday. But I do want to give him a shout out because let me tell you, this guy surprised me with probably like top three best gifts I've ever gotten in my life. I've been hunting down this 92-93 Inter away kit with the Fiorucci sponsor that is the whole basis of this podcast logo. Like I just literally pretty much copied and pasted the design and made it the logo with just changing the words. That's it. And for him to be able to get that for me, I am eternally grateful that he was like willing to do that. And just, I mean, what a guy, what a heart. You know, the guy just got engaged while he's on this trip. Ooh. And then he decides to like, you know what, like not only am I going to give my fiance a nice ring, I'm going to get my co-host a new Inter kit. And so thank you, Alessandro. Appreciate it. But filling in for him are not one, but two Nicks. We got Nick Diani from the Kicks and Picks podcast. Nick Costa, who's a diehard Interisti, but he also is on Brotherly Pod talking about the Philadelphia Flyers, a.k.a. the worst team in the state of Pennsylvania for hockey.
The worst.
Yeah. In the Northeast, the maybe.
Correct.
Could be in the North. Yeah. Yeah, actually, when you look at it, yes, statistically, they are. Wow, that's crazy. But I'm so glad I was able to get these guys on. I'm going to try to keep it a little more controlled. Last time we did get a little off the beaten path with it. Although with this game, I really don't think there's much to talk about. It was a very, very boring matchup. And, you know, listen, you could point your fingers at a lot of different reasons as to why it ended in a 2-2 draw. But I appreciate you guys for hopping on. Nick Diani, let's start with you. How you doing?
Doing well, brother. Thank you for having us, as always. Congrats to Alessandro. Didn't know the news, so breaking news there. It sounds like he's having a good...
Yeah, he put it on Instagram. I mean, not Instagram, Twitter. He did put it on Twitter. So.
All right, congrats to him. Weird week in Serie A. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it, but 7 games out of the 9 completed games ended in a draw. So that's just absolutely wild.
Yeah, that... I'm still counting the Roma game as a draw to me. So I'm going to say even 8 out of the 10.
Fair. Yeah,
7 out of the 9 that were completed ended in a draw. I mean, it's almost like nobody wants to win anymore in Serie A, for sure.
Great weekend for Lazio if this was like December.
If they were still in the race, yeah. And then Nick Costa, man, how you been, dude?
As far as Inter goes, I'm fine. As far as the Flyers go, I'm depressed. So thank God we have Inter to talk about, because the Flyers and Philadelphia sports in general are just a train wreck. And Alessandro, I don't know if you listened to the episodes, but congratulations. And your wedding day will be the fastest day of your life. That's what everyone told me. And it was true. I hardly remember my wedding day. It was so fast. But yeah, like Nick said, what a strange weekend in across the big 5 leagues, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good weekend for Kicks and Picks.
Definitely not.
You guys cost a lot of people money.
Yeah, not the way I hoped it would go. But
that's why I don't gamble that much.
And ironically enough, the games I have gambled on with Nick, I've actually won. But then when I decided to support Nick Costa's teams in Philadelphia, it's cost me everything.
Don't do that, dude.
Except for Owen Tippett shot props. That's the only one.
Oh, yeah. He's
Panthers
That's the only
legend.
One that ever hits. Panthers legend. Probably the best redhead in the NHL, hands down. You know? I can't think of another one, to be quite honest. But anyway.
Mark Stahl.
Oh, I guess you can include that.
Fuck him.
That weird. You can include that weirdo. But yeah, this matchup with Cagliari. You know, we saw with the Sassuolo-Milan game, that ended in a 3-3 draw. Sassuolo kind of let us down at the end, let Milan get back into it, and then also inevitably equalized. I think if we would have gotten the 3 points, that would have wrapped that up for us. With, well, it would have made at least a draw. Would have been like a draw in the derby would have wrapped it up for us. Now we kind of have to win. I'm not too worried about it myself, but this matchup was, listen, I know we had no Lautaro due to suspension. We had no Pavard due to suspension, which I think was, I'm still going to make the argument that that was on purpose to make sure that they were available for the derby. But when you're going up against a Cagliari team that's battling the relegation, you want to think that you're going to be able to wrap up your 3 points. You know, it'll be easy. They'll just roll over and die. But it looks like we're the ones that lately, at least, have been the ones who just roll over and die and don't seem to really want to really put the final nail in the coffin for some of these teams that are chasing us, specifically Milan. And yep. I don't know, guys, like what do you see out there besides the flatness?
Yeah, I mean, one thing we got to throw out there of note, I mean, I think you had a good shout with the players that were missing, but this is a Cagliari team that's fighting for every point they can possibly get. I mean, there's something to be said about it. I mean, that's not to say that I expected this result, but I think you hit the nail on the head, man. The team just looked flat from what I saw. The midfield just, I mean, outside of Hakan, who I thought was solid as he usually is, felt like there was nothing else noteworthy. I thought Alexis maybe had one of his best game of the year, potentially. I thought he was around, especially in that first half, but, you know, had a nice assist. But yeah, just lackluster from the midfield. I thought nobody in defense looked good. I mean, just, I don't have a good thing to say, really. I mean, 2 goals conceded, yeah. Not the best. Just, it was that game. I mean, I don't know that I'm using my words in the best possible way, but that's like, that probably is the best way to describe this game. It was just, bleh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I would put it. You know, I mean, we got the Thuram goal in the 12th minute. Shamuradov scores in the 65th, the Hakan penalty in the 74th. And then you get the goal for Cagliari in the 83rd minute, which we could dive into more later, of course, you know, with, was it a handball? Was it not a handball? But I agree. Yeah. Hakan was probably the best player on the pitch. If you look at FUTMOB, this was Sanchez's best game of the season. Well, in statistically, which I kind of surprises me, but I do think that he played very well. I agree with you. The back three were, all three were pretty lackluster. I would say for me, Acerbi was the worst of the three, but listen, you could point at whoever you want. Hairs. Yeah, like I think that's just if you're nitpicking it. Nick, Nick Costa, what about you when you think back on this matchup?
Like you said, it was extremely boring. It's not very, you didn't come away from that game, probably because they tied, but you didn't come away from that game thinking like, oh, wow, they still played pretty good. But I think at the end of the day, Inter and Milan both ran into the same thing, which is a team at the bottom of the table that was playing extremely desperate. Sassuolo just fucking suck, and they can't keep the ball out of their net, which ironically, they beat Inter and Juve in back-to-back weeks this year, then somehow held Milan late in the season here. I thought Alexis, again, yeah, he's probably the best player in the first half. I think, it doesn't matter because of his age and where he's at in his career, but I think he's clearly better when he starts. And he's there from minute one, and he grows into the game, and he still has class. Like, he's not as fast as he used to be, and he's not putting the ball in the net like he used to, like in his Arsenal days, but I still feel like he still has like some intelligence and some touch, and he's better suited as a starter giving you 60 minutes than coming in and giving you 20 at the end. Obviously, say you're chasing a goal at the end, you're going to put on as many strikers as you need or forwards, but I think he's a better starter. The midfield was pretty meh. Except for Hakan, I agree with Nick. Barella was all right. You know, Mkhitaryan can't pass a ball down the middle of the field. He can only put it out wide or pat backwards. Mkhitaryan can't make a progressive ball. And then as far as the defense goes, second week in a row, Acerbi looked shaky. I thought all three of them looked shaky yesterday. I thought both goals were just way too easy. I felt like Coyote was able to, and Luvumbu is a fast guy. Luvumbu. Yeah. Like, he's probably gonna end up somewhere next year, not Coyote. And
I think if they get relegated, he does. I think if they don't, I think he'll probably stay there, but we'll see.
I mean, his finishing is terrible, but like, he's quick and he clearly put Inter, which pace isn't our strong suit. You could tell he was stressing out the Inter back. And I felt like both goals were just way too easy. And I'm not blaming Soma for it either, because he's a great goalie. Whether it's hockey or soccer or football, pardon me, you want your goalie to bail you out once. And it would have been nice if he was able to bail them out for one of those two goals. But I mean, the second one was a handball, and the league probably didn't want Inter to be able to clinch it with a tie next week. But, you know, I digress.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I agree with everything you said there. You know, just seeing some of the people complaining about Jan Sommer on Twitter and like saying like, oh, he's like the most overrated goalkeeper and stuff.
That's silly.
I'm like, my goodness, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, I could probably think of like five goalkeepers just in Serie A alone who are more overrated. And like, you're gonna go after him like, oh, well, the defense bails him out. I'm like, what? The defense has been letting him down most recently, more than anything. Yeah. I was like, and if anything, he's stolen some games for us throughout the season. You know, I look at the Fiorentina game. He made some big saves there. I forgot what other game. There was another game where he made a point blank save. Not only did he make the save, but he also was able to secure it. I forget if it was Lecce, maybe. It was like one of those games where it was like close late and we ended up just hanging on to win 2-1 thanks to him. I don't know what you're expecting. Like, we did sign he's like a 34-year-old goalkeeper. It's not like we signed some, you know, youth kid who is on the up and up. Like, I kind of knew what to expect with him. I didn't think he was going to be the best goalkeeper in the world. I did think that he would be the best goalkeeper in Serie A, which I got some flack back from, especially our group chat, Nick Diani. You know who was giving me some lip in there. But yeah, there's other things in this matchup where like, you can come away leaving okay, especially with, you know, Hakan's performance. I think that when you don't have Lautaro, I think that your attack definitely struggles. It felt like Sanchez was giving a lot of free space, like to just go left, right, wherever he wanted to be, he was allowed to be. And I feel like when Thuram doesn't know what to expect, which he kind of already knows with Lautaro, what's going to be coming, it kind of takes away from what he's able to do in attack, in my personal opinion. Now, the goal was great. I think, you know, the play that led up to it, and then Sanchez getting wide and being able to cross it in, beautiful play. I mean, an easy tap in for Marcus Thuram, which I think he needed to get his confidence back too. He had been misfiring for a little bit. But I think other than that, it felt like there was just a little bit of a disconnect between the two of them up front. Now, they did well statistically and individually, but I think like just playing off one another was a little bit harder. Nick Diani, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think there's a little bit of, before, sorry, let me backtrack to what you said. I think Sommer by far has been the best keeper in Serie A this year, like in terms of stability. Is he the best shot stopper? I mean, there's some of these young kids for relegation teams. You know, we talk about...
statistically, in terms of save percentage, he's right behind Di Gregorio.
That's the example I was going to go to, right? Like, this is a guy that has to make five saves a game, right? He doesn't have a choice. Sommer has been as good as advertised, one of the signings of the season. He's solidified the team back there, and you can't put him at fault for either of those goals, I don't think. So I do want to agree with you on that. In terms of Thuram, you know, there's a little element of Cavada to this dude in the way his season has progressed. And that's came in. Maybe people didn't know who he was or what he was capable of. I think he was more of a known quantity than Cavada. I'm not saying that, but
yeah,
I remember early on in the season, the first 2 months, I was incredibly impressed. He was the signing of the season for me through the first quarter of the season, right? This guy is a menace. He doesn't stop running. He controls the ball well. He makes smart runs. He has good instincts. He's not the finished, polished product that maybe he needs to be. And that's the step I'm looking for him to take next year. I think a long season, right, in multiple competitions, he's worn down a little bit, and that's fair. I think that maybe he's been figured out, not figured out, but, you know, there's game film to study on him at this point, right? So I think there's a little bit of that element going on. We're in the middle of April. So he's done everything and more, I have to imagine, from your guys' standpoint. I mean, I can't imagine if you look back and you grade him at the end of the season, anybody's going to be disappointed. I think that these are natural things to happen towards the end of the season, right? In a game like this, can happen. So for my money, you know, can he take the next step next year? That's really what I'm going to be looking for. But had a pretty good game as far as I'm concerned. Like you said, scored a goal, needed kind of a tap in. If he can work a little bit on his finishing and his selfishness, I don't know, whatever that is, I think he needs to generate more shots on his own, and he doesn't necessarily always look to. So if he can take on that responsibility and put in 12 to 15 goals, watch out.
Nick Costa wearing the gorgeous black Inter kit alternate. Oh man, that's would kill for that.
From Conte's first season here.
Yep.
That's probably their best set, by the way. As a jersey nerd.
All three?
Yeah. Like
home away. Yeah. In a while, at least, for sure.
Oh, yeah. They're like allergic to making normal stripes on their shirts lately.
Especially with the rumor of the next one. I don't know if you saw. I was hoping it wouldn't be as bad as like the original, but like this new one that got leaked looked even worse.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they're just leaks and not that. But anyway.
So to speak on Thuram, I think he's better than what we all expected. He was by far better than what Lukaku or Dzeko gave you the last couple of years. I mean, Dzeko would give you a good first 3 months and then completely run out of gas. And Thuram had what, one injury where he missed a significant amount of time, where he missed a month. One. So, yeah. You know, like Nick said, he's not probably used to having to play on in four different competitions if you count the Supercopa. And then it is good that he put the ball back in the net again. I was hoping after that goal, it's like, all right, sweet, early goal. Let's put our fucking foot on their throats and put them away. Like, let's have another blowout at home. And they just kind of rested on their laurels and kicked the ball around and just didn't put it away. And maybe that is where you miss Lautaro and Pavard. But and I'm making it clear, I'm not blaming Solman for either goal. I just like, he is a great goalie. I don't feel like Inter has missed a beat in net this year as far as shot stopping and giving up goals. I mean, they've given up less goals this year, but they're also playing better as a team this year. I just thought after that first goal, let's run away with this. And they just kind of let Cagliari kind of dictate the rest of the first half. And they only really would wake up when Cagliari would score. And then they almost fucking blew it at the end.
Yep. And I guess I'll start with you, Nick Costa, on this one. Do you think it has to do with maybe like some fatigue? Do you think Inzaghi's message is not coming through? Or do you think they just lack motivation, that they just almost feel like it's a given that they're going to be crown champions?
I think it's a long season. I mean, in our group chat, I get very pissed off and upset when there's a game going on. I get very emotional. But like at the end of the day, I've made sure not to get too high or too low this season, because it is a long season and they have shown us pretty much all year that there's not too much to worry about. I mean, they have one league loss all year round. It's a long season. There's going to be peaks and valleys. I mean, these guys are human, right? And losing like that in the Champions League, that's going to, I think, mess with anybody. Maybe not playing two times a week. Just playing devil's advocate here. Like, you know, maybe they're like, they were in such a routine playing all the time, having good rotation. It kept everyone sharp. Maybe not having that hurt them. I don't know, but I just think it's a long season. It's, you know, you're still, some of these guys are getting old, and I just think, peaks and valleys, man. I try not to get too high or too low. And even yesterday I was a little upset, but not too much. I felt like, you know, all right, well, everyone fucking tied this fucking weekend. So yeah. Literally everybody. So not too upset about it. I worry for the next game, but we don't have to go there yet.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm trying to make excuses for it, but It's like, yeah, like, you know what? No one gained points. I'm not going to, like, really, like, throw a temper tantrum. Yeah, I'm disappointed. You know, I expect better, of course, you know, especially with how we've been doing all season. And I really wanted to break Conte's record with Juve, which I want to dive into that and ask you guys another question regarding that as well. But, yeah, I'm really not letting this game get to me. Like, you know, I think last year had this happened, you know, with the way I was feeling towards Inzaghi, the way I was feeling about the season as a whole, I probably would have gone a little overboard with this one, if I'm being quite honest. But Nick Diani, like, I mean, obviously you're from an outside perspective. Like, do you see anything that would be maybe like a little worrying to you at all? Or do you think it's just...
No, not at all. I think we covered it all, right? It was a change in personnel, and there's a team that clearly needed the game more, wanted the game more. I mean, that's kind of where it begins and ends for me. If anybody's looking ahead, you guys are looking ahead to the Derby, right? I think it's nothing more than that. No real cause for concern.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well said. Yeah, I'm not hitting any panic buttons, not even really getting nervous. And I really think that this point definitely solidifies Cagliari's standing outside of the relegation battle. Even though they have 4 points above Frosinone, I mean, I think that to be able to keep that extra point cushion, because even if it's, you know, I mean, even if they lose next week, Hellas, Udinese, and Empoli at best could tie them, and then they would still own the tiebreaker over every team except Hellas, if I'm not mistaken. And then Frosinone would need 2 games to really, like, you know, leapfrog them. So, I mean, listen, hats off to Ranieri. I think he's like one of like the ultimate gentlemen, really, of Serie A. Like, you really can't go out and hate on Claudio Ranieri or say anything negative about him. I actually wanted him to succeed at Inter. I'm a big fan of him as a person. I do think his tactics are a little outdated, but, you know, I mean, we saw he was able to win the EPL with Leicester and you know, was able to do some good things now here with Cagliari, getting them back into Serie A and keeping them here. It looks like it's going to be so. I mean, listen, hats off to him. He gets his message across to his players, which I can respect. So,
dude, just to touch on that, I mean, when I say they needed points, I just took a look at their schedule remaining for the year. They got Juve next. Genoa after that. You got a big one with Lecce, right? That's a 6-pointer almost. Milan, Sassuolo is definitely a 6-pointer. And then Fiorentina. I mean, they don't have an easy game left.
Yeah. So
every single solitary point counts. 4 points could get erased in a heartbeat. So, I mean, you have to take that into consideration
with the way Juve is playing. I think that they're going to do just fine.
And Pioli's been playing well. It's not like they just got up for us yesterday. They beat Atalanta. They've been playing very well lately.
Didn't they steal points from Bologna too?
Recently? I believe, like, so.
They've only lost 1 game in their last 7. I mean, they were a terrible run before that, but they drew Napoli. They beat Atalanta outright.
3-0.
2-1. Yep.
2-1, my bad. What am I thinking? 3-0. I don't know. Fuck me. But I was expecting 90 minutes of dinosaur ball yesterday, like just park the bus, the plane, everything, and wait. But no, none of that.
Park the bus, the plane, everything. But yeah, thank goodness, whatever, we were able to get away with the point. Listen, I don't think we really have to really stay much longer in this game. I did come up with some questions to kind of make it a little more lighthearted, a little more fun for us. I got a little this or that that I have teed up. We're going to start off though with this question. With this current Inter squad, if you could bring anybody from the treble winning side to the current team, who would you pick? I don't want to go first because I don't want to steal somebody's thunder, but if anybody has one right off the top of the head and they want to go ahead, jump at it.
Yeah, got it, Nick.
Super Mario Balotelli.
How did I know you were going to say that before, like, I even thought of asking the question?
Super Mario. Bring me Super Mario. Bring him to the Euros.
Well, yeah, you still want him for like this version. I'm talking. You don't even care about the truck. You want today's Mario Balotelli.
Give me Balotelli. Give me Balotelli. We need striker depth, right? He's better than Arnautovic. I'll take Balotelli from the treble-winning side in place of Arnautovic. Thank you. Good night. We already have 120 points. We win the league outright, undefeated.
Balotelli's the only guy who does it. Okay. All
Balotelli. Right.
Bro, I mean, Nick and I always agree on this because he starts on Lazio today. There's no doubt in my mind. So, yes, I would take him. I had a similar thought. I was trying to keep it realistic. I kind of think like I take a Milito, right? That's the guy for me where probably starts most games, but wouldn't be that pissed if he had to come off the bench, right? That's like Mario's going to be on the bench for two games and then be pissed off. So I think that's the one area where you need a little more punch. That would be the guy for me.
Well, I'm just glad nobody said the player that I'm going to mention.
I know who you're going to pick.
You don't know who I'm going to pick.
Yes, I do.
You think you know who you're going to pick.
All right, go ahead.
I'm picking somebody different, though. I actually would say Cambiasso would be the perfect guy.
100% who I thought you were picking.
For this midfield. Yeah, I know Nick Costa thought I was going to say Schneider.
I did, yes.
I just know he doesn't fit this team, unfortunately. But I think Cambiasso, instead of Mkhitaryan, we never lose a midfield battle ever if Cambiasso's there. Like, he's just the perfect guy to complement Çalhanoğlu. I think he would actually even allow Çalhanoğlu more freedom to go forward if he wanted to and do more things. If he wants to stay in – like, that's the thing. With Cambiasso, you have the flexibility to put him at Regista, to put him at Mezzala. You can rotate him, and I think that he would be perfect. You know, I thought about Samuel. He doesn't really work in a back three. Neither does Lucio. So I was like, you know what? I think this is the guy. I did want to think – I was – toying with Milito, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Cambiasso even before you picked him, Nick Biani. So I'm glad we all have different answers for that because, I mean, listen, 120 points with Balotelli. I think 130 points with I don't even know if that's possible in 38 games. I don't know the math, but I think we would be the first team in history to go 38-0 if we had Cambiasso in the midfield.
We'd win the quadruple. And then when the Club World Cup would be unstoppable. I mean,
it's unbelievable. It would. Speaking of the Club World Cup, we can get into that. Right, anyway, I can go all over the place here. All right, now I got these this or that. Who you would prefer to add? Also, not from the trail, just between two different players. Right now, would you take Vieri or Adriano?
Oh, dude, that's tough because Vieri's like. Probably one of my favorite players growing up, if not my favorite. I think he's criminally underrated and underappreciated.
Stupid underrated.
Right?
The fact that people don't put him, like, I consider him the greatest for the national team, Italian striker we've ever had.
No question.
If you look at his goals per game numbers, he's like almost like a 0.7. The guy, like, literally was almost putting a goal a game for the national team. The fact that, you know, like, I honestly think that he would have set a goal scoring record in 0-2 if we didn't get screwed by South Korea.
I agree.
In the round of 16.
Absolutely.
This
is tough because he like instant threat, right? He was from that era where like number nine, your striker, they just had a presence. But so, I mean, again, bias aside, one of my favorite players, fantastic career, Adriano, like what he brought in the very short prime of his career, to me is like the closest thing I ever saw to Ronaldo. So that's an impossibly hard question to answer. But like if we're talking about at the peak of their abilities, I think it has to be Adriano. But you know, for consistency, Vieri's the guy. It's really tough. I don't even know.
All right,
I need you guys to talk me into it.
Gun to your head. Fate of the universe on the line. You got to put one in the lineup. Who you picking?
Probably Vieri.
Okay. Nick Costa.
I'll just say Adriano because I feel like in the 3-5-2, you stick him up there with Lautaro. Lautaro's been very good at being the target guy and distributing. And I feel like if he would just go hold the ball up, just hit Adriano on the pass and just it'd be buckets left and right. Be raining goals. Yeah, but I also love Vieri. I have his Lazio kit. I swear I do.
Vieri was the first Inter kit I ever got. He was my favorite player. He was the reason I let my hair grow in high school. Like, I wanted to look like Christian Vieri.
He's so good.
He was just so good. The way that he would score goals, too. Like, I mean, like an ugly pass to him, and he would somehow dink it over the goalkeeper, or he would find a way to get his foot around a defender and put it in, and, like, always willing to fight for the ball. I mean, I love Vieri. I agree with you, Nick Dionne. Criminally underrated.
Yep.
He just doesn't get the love that he deserves. But then, you know, like you said, with Adriano, he really is the closest thing that we've seen to Ronaldo. Like, I don't think anyone comes close. I don't think anyone could take a ball like he did against Parma. I'll never forget that game where he dribbled like 65, 70 yards, slicing through defenders and then putting it with like the most venomous shot left foot. I mean, I'm going to lean towards Adriano, but I am not mad if you pick Vieri. Like, I'm not going to criticize you at all.
Great question.
Like, I'm just, that's who I'm going to go with. The next one I think is not as difficult, but these are two guys who I think left Inter too soon. We didn't really get to see as much as I wanted to of either one of these, but are you going to go with either Mateo Kovacic or Philippe Coutinho?
It's tough too, because I don't love either player.
I think
Coutinho certainly a little more attack minded. I think probably more skilled overall, and I think had the better short prime. Maybe like at his best, I think Coutinho was a little more impactful. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
For 135 million, pounds. Right? So I think
Kovacic, man, like he seems to have adjusted his attitude in the right way. I think he's like, I don't know if it's you look at Luka Modric and you, nice, and you like, wait, you know,
did you actually text your wife to go get that for you?
Respect.
I respect. Yes.
So, you know, Kovacic has kind of figured it out, and good for him. And now he seems to be thriving. I don't know, man. Coutinho, I guess for me, tough. That's tough. I think that's a great question.
What about you, Nick Costa?
Coutinho, Kovacic sucks.
Cool.
All right.
We vibe, man.
All right, man. So, you know, I'm just going to be different and say Kovacic because I didn't want him to leave the first time, and I would actually take him back today. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'll take him now. Yeah, I'll take him now.
Let me tell you, guarantee at the time you did not want him to be sold to Real Madrid. I guarantee it.
I was shocked they even wanted him in the first place.
I'm not, because the talent's there.
No.
That's a player.
He barely played for them.
That's a player. He played in the Champions League plenty for them.
He always came off the bench there, did he not?
Also, here's hold on, thing. real quick, though. Shout out Nick Costa's wife. Also, congrats to you.
Yeah.
The upcoming baby, man. Super happy for you
God
guys.
God bless, man.
Three months to go now.
3 months to go, man. Awesome. Awesome. And if anyone wants to know, they're actually naming their firstborn after me. I am so honored. I can't believe that he agreed to this. Super pumped.
Even though she's a girl, we're naming her John Marco.
That's it. John Marco. Yes. Beautiful girl's name. Wait, what?
2024, right. It might be.
Oh God, let's not go there.
So,
get me in trouble.
I'm trying. Here's my argument against Kovacic. Name one game. Like, what's the Kovacic game?
The game against Lazio, where he scored that banger of.
Maybe for Inter, you remember it, but like you said, he played in the Champions League, right? He's. He plays now for
that
City.
One, you know that what? One game against. Insert team name here, you know?
Red Star Belgrade when they already had the group clinched.
Yeah, like that's kind of where I'm at with him. And that's not necessarily his role, but I don't know. Like, it's Coutinho.
No, listen, okay. That was a good counter. And now I'm on the losing side. So listen, congrats to you guys with the.
He acquiesces.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What about this one here? Francesco Toldo or Julio Cesar?
Toldo for me. I don't know. Like, I just earliest memory of like a goalkeeper being the best player on the field for me. So
you're talking like Euro 2000?
Even prior to that, I feel what tournament was it? 98 was the one where he was.
Wasn't
2000
where he filled in for Buffon was Euro 2000.
Euro 2000.
Sure, but Okay. But I mean, even at a club level, like there were games where like this guy, best player on the field. And it's the first time I remember feeling that for like a goalkeeper.
Yeah. See, I struggle with this because he was the, so I'm old enough to remember Gianluca Pagliuca, and he was like one of my favorite players ever. I thought, first of all, he always had the sickest like goalkeeper tops. Like they were just always so fresh and he just looked like just the coolest guy ever. And then I remember like I got super upset when Peruzzi came in to replace him at Inter. I thought that was a stupid move and I was not a fan of his. And then we saw how bad he was. Basically, Lippi came to Inter to sabotage them. I'm gonna die on that hill. That was an inside job by Juve. They brought him. They brought Peruzzi. Anyway, but then Toldo came, and yes, I fell in love with the goalkeeper position all over again. But Julio Cesar is. I mean, I would make the case that he is the reason that we won the treble, and I'll say this because. If you look at the save he made at the Bernabeu on Messi, curling it outside the 18, I think 99 out of 100 goalkeepers let that in. And the only one who makes that save is Julio Cesar because of his quick cat-like reflexes. I love him. I think that he is such a champion for the club, too. He's a great ambassador, always trying to get people to come to Inter. Now, I know that's kind of taking this whole thing in a different direction, but in this scenario, as much as I love Tordone, and I will always be grateful for what he did, and even being willing to stay as a backup, you know, for those teams with the treble too, and kind of just being supportive of Julio Cesar and gracefully stepping aside and recognizing that this guy is the future of Inter at that time, I'm still going to go with Julio Cesar for that one.
Yeah, Julio Cesar, that save on Messi is arguably the most important save in Inter's history.
Yeah. Yeah, like I will...
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, like, you look at the way that he is going one direction and then he stops, readjusts, and dives to make that save. I mean, fully outstretched, fingertip save. It saved the game for us. It really did.
It's their most important save in their history. And let's just say Inter, at most big clubs... Inter has a great history of great goalkeepers.
I mean, at least in my lifetime, we've never had a bad goalkeeper, really.
I mean, we were too young to remember, but yeah, you have Zenga. We were too young to remember him.
And he was the one right before Pagliuca anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Pagliuca, the only goalie that sucked was Frey.
I don't count him.
Nah, but like it's, and there's no wrong answer. Toldo was a great goalie too, but yeah, you got to go with Cesar. Like some of those saves he made in an Inter kit were just unbelievable. But so did Toldo, but Cesar all day.
100%. I would have to agree. All right, this next one is, I think this one's going to be, in my opinion, I think this is going to be the hardest one. Ashraf Hakimi or Maicon?
All right, so Maicon for what he did or Hakimi for what he potentially could have been if he stayed his whole career? Is that how you're looking at it? I'm
just talking about like just pure like right now in this team as a right wing back,
man,
who is going to be killing it for us on the wing?
Maicon transcends, man. He could play whenever. He's that guy. I don't know. Big Brazilian day for me, but it's Maicon.
Listen, I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. I mean, Maicon also had that big boot. He could score from anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget that screamer that he had, like
unbelievable.
Milan,
yes,
across, like, and he shoots it far post, like not even near post. Yeah. He goes across body. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm gonna have to agree with you, Nick Diani. Like, I think I'm going Maicon as well. As much as I love Hakimi, and I think with this team that he would be an absolute beast. Yeah. I think Maicon transcends time. Like, it doesn't matter what era you drop him in. He's going to be one of the most effective players on the pitch.
Is Hakimi still not happy at PSG?
Is anyone happy at PSG? Yeah.
No.
Won't be after tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, bring him home. Oh,
is that is Are you going to give us a little sneak peek of what could be happening with that?
I don't know, man. Tough week. I did really well last week, and now it's like,
listen,
let's see.
Listen,
Barca at home, though. No, they only need a goal, really.
We ride together, bro. Bad boys for life, bro. I'm not turning away. You know? All right. And all right, the last one in this, at least. Brozovic or Cambiaso?
Cambiaso.
Yeah, gotta be.
I was gonna say, if you see Nick Costa's face, he was really in deep thought right there, Pete.
Yeah.
He was like just really.
Brozovic is sneaky, but I didn't want to see him too sneaky, eager.
But Cambiaso is just that Mr. Clean head with number 19 on the back running around.
His body language. Brozovic had such poor body language. Sometimes it would drive me crazy.
It would drive me crazy too. Like, and it's not that it, especially when he would allow it to fully take him out of the moment.
Yeah.
Listen, Barella does it sometimes. Like when he's in a bad mood, he doesn't like, he'll still run after somebody pissed off as anything, but he's like, you could tell he's angry.
Uh-huh.
Brozovic would just be like sulking and then just like go walk off on his own thing and like just be thinking about the cigarette he's going to smoke after the match. And
just, I mean, he had ice in his veins. Like you couldn't really pressure him.
You could, yeah.
Especially those last couple years here. I felt like Brozovic was one of the best that Registas in the world.
I mean, I always said that he was like immune to pressure. Like it was a waste of your time to try to press him of all people. Like if you were going to take, and that's why, like, I mean, even in his last season, when Milan beat us at the San Siro, that game last season.
Mm-hmm.
I think about how Milan focused on taking Hakan out of the game because they kind of just gave up on really pressing Brozovic at all. Like they just knew, like, we can't affect this guy. Like we have to try to, and Hakan was the one who actually made the mistake, the poor pass that led to the first goal for Milan anyway. So
yeah.
Hats off to Pioli, who hopefully is going to stay at Milan for another, you know, another season, man. Like you got to roll with the guys who get you there. That's how I look at it.
Uh-huh.
So
I feel like Cambiaso offered you more defensively than Brozovic did. Like,
100%.
Like Brozovic was not, Cambiaso wasn't a blazer either, but Brozovic was slow and not as good as a defender as Cambiaso. You stick Cambiaso next to Hakan, you're going to do damage.
I think, yeah, I think that actually frees up a little bit more too for Hakan. Like he's just, I think he would love to have played with us about Cambiaso. I think a lot of midfielders would have loved to have played with Cambiaso. So, yeah. Well, that was on the this or that category. And then really like the last question I got for you guys, it's not that big of a deal. It's not going to make or break. I'm not going to judge anyone on what they decide. I actually don't even know what I was going to ask, to be quite honest. I thought I had one written down, but it was kind of lame, so I'm not going to go with it.
Who's going to win the Derby?
You built it up. Now you got to ask.
That's all it was going to be. It was like, who's going to win the Derby?
I wouldn't be surprised if they tie again.
Yeah, that's how.
Because Milan, they have the crowd, and you know, like, we have embarrassed them over the last few years. They have a couple of wins sprinkled in there, but, like, overall, Inter has just kicked their ass
in the last 6 years.
Yeah,
like, it's nuts. Since both teams have come out of the banter era, it's been all Inter. And obviously, but you know, rivalry games in any league, any sport, it's almost a toss up.
It really
is. When we killed them 5-1, I was shocked.
Yep.
Pleasantly shocked.
I was pleasantly shocked as well too. Like I didn't expect it to be that easy. Like we just dismantled them.
Killed them.
And I don't even know if we can do that again. Not saying it's not possible, but I feel like they are a different place. We are clearly in a different place right now. But you know, like just trying to be objective, really, and like look at this like as just a pure footballing view. If we come out with the same lack of intensity against them, I could see Milan really stealing the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, and I don't want that. I hope that these guys understand the importance. Yeah. First of all, like you're hearing from the other like former Inter greats just how meaningful this could be to clinch it against your rivals like this. Like I think you have to like just come out with like an intensity, or like, I don't care. Like, I would rather somebody run out there, like whether it's Hakan, whether it's Lautaro, or just, and you break somebody's leg just to show like how into it you are. Like,
Teo's preferably.
Teo's specifically.
Give him a reason to make that stupid face he always makes when he gets fouled.
Yeah. Like, hey, if you want to roll around, here's a reason to roll around, you know? Yeah. But like, I want that level of intensity. Yeah. Nick Diani.
Yeah, I love it. Listen, I think that first game, that set the tone for the rest of the season for both teams, right? Yeah. I think Milan was right in it, and that was the first humbling that they took. I think they've bounced back pretty well. You know, listen, they've had a good season. Inter's just been on another level. But I kind of agree with you guys. I think you saw it in this game. I thought Inter was clearly looking ahead to the derby, knowing what's at stake. And I think Milan's going to be really spent after playing Roma in midweek, right? I mean, that's they're down a goal. I have to imagine they're going to go all out to try to win that game. And that's a tough two games in a 3-4 day span. So it's going to take a lot for Milan to get anything out of this game. You know, Inter's in the better position. It's just reality.
I mean, we got to find a Milan fan that isn't, you know, half brain dead, but you got to ask Milan fans. And I know it's kind of hard after they, you know, you take their fingers out of their nose. what matters more to them this week? Advancing in the Europa League or not losing
the Scudetto to Inter?
And it's funny. I saw a poll. I saw a poll on Twitter. Somebody asked that, and I went back. I was like, can anybody answer this question, or is this just a Milan fan that's like that are allowed to answer? Because to me, like, it's not even a question. Of course, you should want to advance in the Europa League, but I know that's not how Italian fans think, right? Like, they would rather blow that game on some level and come out and say, "Ah, Inter, you didn't get that second star against us." Well, guess what? You're going to get it the next week or the fucking week after that.
Yeah.
So I just listen, I guess my team hasn't been in this position in a long time, but I still see it with Roma and Lazio, like bragging rights about who wins that game. Yeah. Okay. What did anybody win out of it?
That's how I was going to look at, like, honestly, if the roles were reversed for us, Nick Costa, like, I would rather us focus on getting a European title.
No question.
Then if we know the inevitable is like Milan's going to get the second star, let's say in this scenario, then I'm like, okay, yeah, all right, we delay it, but then they still get it. Like, so what are we bragging about? You know what I mean? Like, if Inter had lost 5 in a row and we break that and we just delay them by a week, what do I care? You know, like, I would rather have gotten a title as meaningless. Listen, not that it's meaningless. The Europa League to me is not as obviously. To anyone, obviously, it's not as prestigious as the Champions League.
It used to be more.
It used to be.
Yeah.
But if you come away with a European title, listen, yeah, I know Lazio would take anything right now, you know, like, but if you could take that, if you're Milan, like, I would say, like, yeah, focus on recovering against Roma, trying to steal that game, even if you just win 1-0 and force extra time, you know, but at least go all in for that.
Oh, I hope it goes to extra time.
Oh man, me too, bro. I'm
extra time penalties, extra time demoralizing, penalties.
Demoralizing loss for me.
Just what we went through with Atletico. Oh, yeah. It would be demoralizing. Yeah. Petty. I would not want to lose to the league, regardless if they were going to win anyway. I'm very petty. It'd be like asking me if the Eagles are playing Dallas and Dallas is going to win the NFC East, whether it's this week or next week. I don't want Dallas beating the Eagles. I don't want the Flyers losing the Penguins. I don't want the Flyers Inter losing the Milan or Juve.
Maybe because all my teams in other sports are completely useless, whether it's the Dolphins, the Islanders. Like, it doesn't affect me as much. Like, I know the Rangers are going to win the Metro. I'm not making a big stink about not winning the Metro. You know, are they going to win the Cup? I honestly don't think so. Like, I don't think they're built for a deep Cup run.
Mm-mm. Defense is suspect, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I don't see it really being a problem. So, like, to me, it's like, cool, you won the Metro. Yep. Okay, now how many trophies do you get for that? Nothing. So, like, I don't care. Like, the Dolphins could win 15 AFC East titles in a row, but if they don't win a Super Bowl, does anyone care how many?
Right.
Let alone a playoff game.
Like, listen, we're not the Nashville Predators where we're going to put up all the banners and, like, meaningless things that we've won, you know? Like,
I couldn't agree more. Like I said, I think like if you look objectively, take the last 10 years, like Lazio is pretty far superior to Roma, right?
Yeah.
Roma has a conference league. We have nothing. We got a couple Coppa Italias, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like what good did it do all those derbies that we won or all the times we finished ahead of them, right? We finished in second and they finished in fifth. We finished in sixth and they finished in eighth. Okay. What did that get us? So I just don't understand the mentality. Winning a trophy is literally the entire reason you play this sport. We saw it. Sadi is a perfect example when he was complaining this year about, oh, we play too many games. Oh, we're in the Champions League. We're not equipped for this. Dude, the entirety of your season the year before, like, was to make it to the point to play more games the following year. So, like, I don't know, man. I have a hard time with anybody that isn't trying to beat Roma in this game and is more focused on the derby. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I hope it's a hard-fought game into extra time and penalties.
I will say, though, boys, just looking at it right now on FanDuel, Inter are plus 115 right now.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, Milan's going to be pissed. They're going to be fired up. We killed them 5-1.
This is what's interesting. So Milan are plus 220. A draw is 240. I'm kind of like,
that's odd.
I would take Inter. Well, I mean, the draw for money reasons. Yeah, I would throw,
you know, take the game to them.
But yes, if we score first, I like put your foot on their throat and
yes, take the game to them. We have the players. We don't have to sit back and let them kick it around. We can
See, we didn't get into this, and this is my fault. People listening, I'm sorry. I don't do what Alessandro does. I just don't. I can go off on tangents with these two. And this is my fault too, because I like talking to them, so I keep inviting them together so that like we can have these types of conversations.
Bunch of East Coast boys.
But then I just don't think about the questions I want to ask, and it just came to me, or that I wanted to bring up was really like, is Inter's depth a bit of an exaggeration?
So all season I've said no, because I think they have 3, 4, 5 guys that are on the bench that are starting on 90% of teams. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm sorry, I don't mean to bring it up, but it happened. Like their depth, it was in one position and one position only, as far as I'm concerned, and that's striker forward. And that's where we saw them kind of come undone in the Champions League. I said, there's going to be a game, there's going to be a stretch where Lautaro, who's cooled down, right? Like, let's call it what it is. I thought he was going to have 30 goals, no problem this year. Him and Thuram, they can't be A-plus every single game. And that stretch came. And that's, to me, where I poke a little bit of a hole in what the depth of this team actually is. Or even this game that we just talked about briefly. 5 subs came in. Not one of them had a notable impact, right? There was name one thing that anybody did. Fratesi.
He threw the penalty.
Augusto. Okay, fair enough. I didn't even remember that because – I don't know.
You are basically Tony's defender, really, because of how much he loves Fratesi.
No, I love it. Good for you. But to me, like, I don't know. What did anybody do? So
you're right.
There are holes. I think there's still reinforcements to be made.
I have to get going soon, so I can't go too deep into this. I think compared to the last few years, it's probably the best depth they've ever had.
Yes.
As far as fair. Italian teams go, yes. As far as the big boys in Europe, not quite. And I think we're still dealing with frugal ownership that has been hamstrung by their dictatorship back home. But I think Inter is building in the right direction to have great squad depth. They'll still need 2 strikers this summer. They're going to need to invest in center back because Acerbi is starting to show his age finally. Might be because he missed some time with injury, but yes, this is the best depth they've had over the last few years.
All right. Fair enough, boys. Well, I appreciate you both guys for hopping on and kind of filling in for Alessandro. Shout out to him again one more time for 1, the engagement, 2, just being amazing, picking up that kit for me. I am eternally grateful for that. But in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi. Yeah, yeah, yeah.